immediately after the bombings, we've had here the memorial to the 60th anniversary of the Second World War. There's about some newspapers say a million people on the streets of Buckingham Palace celebrating it. And what the media have done, they have splashed all this as if, you know, this is, we're back in the Blitz. We've got to stick together.
Oh,
you know,
please.
We will not
Blitz,
bow to the terrorists.
Blitz. That's absurd.
Get them behind authority, and so authority can lead them and save them.
So they rolled out
of that.
All the same old backdrop. But look, over 50,000 Britishers died in the Blitz, all 50,000, of course, in one night in Germany, 50,000 in Hamburg, maybe 150,000 were killed. But the point is, to pull up World War II as a backdrop against the deaths of 50, 60 people, to play that card again, I'm sure there are a lot of World War II survivors, David, who are sneering at it right now.
Well, too right. It's a joke. But then again, the British media is a joke. It's the tabloid version of it especially. And the front pages yesterday morning now, 5 in the morning, were absolute splashes of the Blitz, true Blitz, and all this stuff.
Sickening.
And it's all part of this process.
Stand by, David. Hold on. We have to pause. The Blitz. No chance. Back in a minute. Live to England, talking to David Icke, and we are talking about the obvious. You know, David, I don't know how the the average Britisher is taking this alleged war on terror. Is the story, did the truth get to the media at all there about this this cover of the simulated terror exercise that was underway at exactly the same moment, which of course gave the agents provocateurs, the bombers, the perfect cover with which to operate? Did that make the British media? Did you read about it or see it or hear about it at all besides
earlier? I've not read anything about that.
That's incredible. That's incredible.
I've seen is the BBC interview.
Wow.
It is incredible, but you know, we had a wonderful example here a few days ago of the way the media works. Because the BBC is independent, you know. And we had this program. I used to work on it years ago called Newsnight.
Yeah.
And what they did was cover the bombings. And they followed the official line all the way through. Because I had someone who wrote to me who goes to my website and said that because they understood how these things work now, when the bombing started being mentioned, they timed when Al-Qaeda got the first mention, and it was like minutes after it went off.
Right.
And so you had this party line on Newsnight, and then they brought George Galloway on. And George Galloway, of course, the guy who came to America and told that committee a few truths about the invasion of Iraq.
Yeah, he decimated the committee.
And this guy who was putting a alternative view, and not even as alternative as we're talking about, but alternative in terms of challenging the official story of these bombings and the reason for them. And he was basically shouted down by the interviewer. It was a disgrace, but that's the way it is. And the media take the official norm of something as its point of reference, and anyone who challenges that norm, even though they might be talking sense and the truth, is marginalized, ridiculed, or shouted down. This is the way it works.
So much to the independent press in the UK. Gone. They can't. They used to be good years ago when you were working on it. They had a semblance of balance and credibility. Now what you're telling me is they're just hacks like ours.
Oh yeah, they're just you know, there are some journalists in Britain who investigate, but they investigate again, Jeff, from the point of view that the official story is basically true.
They stay in their cages and do what they're supposed to do.
Yeah, they take the system to be the norm, and yes, they'll investigate this corruption or that corruption or this statement or that statement, like they did over the war in Iraq. There was some good stuff in terms of showing that Blair lied and all the rest of it, but they don't take it to the next step and see that the lies are bound to happen. because there's a cover story being sold to the people. And the reason that they can find Blair and his governmental colleagues lying all the time is because they're telling a cover story, just as Bush lies all the time. He can't not lie because he's giving a cover story for what has really happened. He's not going to come out and say, actually, we did the London bombing, and I know who was behind it, and this is why we've done it. So he has to lie, and that's why Blair lies all the time, because he's selling a cover story all the time. And over here now, of course, you have the problem, you have the reaction, the solution's all there waiting to be offered before the problem's actually been instigated. And now we're having the idea of identity cards, which the Blair government's been really struggling to sell to the people, indeed sell to many people in Parliament. That's now being pushed forward. Charles Clark, the Home Secretary, is saying that phone records and email records must be kept now so that they can be checked if anything else happens.
Checked for
everybody.
Kept by whom?
Kept by the
your IP?
Yeah, servers, and by the phone companies. And
oh, really?
On record indefinitely.
You mean the actual full text of all the emails now, the IPs are required to keep on some kind of database?
Yeah, he's saying that internet email records and phone records should be kept indefinitely by the companies, by law, so that if something like this happens, then people can, the authorities can go back and check. And he's talking to the European Union about coordinating this at the moment. And he's actually said, this guy, Charles Clark, he was an absolute buffoon, that as a result of the London bombings, we must accept a loss of civil liberties of it happening again.
Well,
it's so blatantly obvious. And a buffoon like Charles Clark, he's just being played by the officials behind him. It's amazing how high you can go in government without actually being in awareness of what you're part of. And I've talked to people who've been in government, and they've only latterly started to understand what was going on when they were doing it. It's very, very few that understand in awareness within these authorities exactly what's happening and why. Compartmentalization is just incredible.
Yeah, they're brilliant at it, and they've been practicing it for what, a half a century or more, at least.
Well, the thing is that this London bombing has revealed that that they do make mistakes in this country too, because over the years the British authorities, not least I suppose because of the history, they go back well into the centuries past. Back to Queen Elizabeth I and stuff, the intelligence network in Britain.
Right.
And they have covered things up very, very well. It's been in America where so much of this stuff has come out, whereas the lid has been much tighter in Britain. But this example, this event, this last few days with the bombings, they have made many mistakes, and it's become very clear to many, many people, as it wasn't before, that this is not what they're being told it is. And I must say, I've been very, very encouraged for the number of people, and 9/11, whatever the event was, in terms of the London bombings, I've seen and more people rejecting the official story and saying that's problem, reaction, solution than ever before. There's definitely a big wave.
Stand by, we'll be right back, David. Something that you may have seen, July the 12th is a dateline, front page on the Times online, the Times of London. Interesting story, David. A single bomb maker This is remember, what we have to keep in mind is, it disinformation? Is it 90% truth? Is it 50%? We don't know. But here's the story in the Times. A single bomb maker using high-grade military explosives. Military explosives, no fertilizer truck bombs, right? Yeah. Is believed to be responsible for building the four devices that killed more than 50 people last week, the Times can reveal.